This morning we have Dr. Belcher with us again, continuing Psalm 23. He's an Old Testament professor at Charlotte RTS, and we are very glad to have you back. So, thank you.
Good morning. Many are praying for you as a church family and praying for the Tom Leach family. We mourn with you during this difficult time. And it just so happens in God's providence that we are in Psalm 23, verse 4. So Psalm 23, and like last week, we'll focus on verse 4, but I will read the whole psalm. And Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm. Probably many of you have memorized it. You know it very well. But as I read through Psalm 23, I want you to look for a significant change that takes place midway through this psalm. So look for that significant change that takes place midway through this psalm, and we'll come back and mention that during the sermon. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, you remind us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We pray this morning that you would speak to us through your word. We are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to take these feeble words and to bring them home into the lives of your people. And so we pray that the Spirit would do his work, all to the glory of Christ, who is our great shepherd. Amen. Have you ever known somebody who talks a good game, but then as you probe a little further, you find out that there's really no substance behind their words? People will highlight important people that they say they've known because maybe their life has intersected with the life of an important person. You know, maybe somebody was in the same gym with Michael Jordan, and they talked like they were close, and they thought they knew him well, but you start asking questions, and you find out that maybe they said hi to him in passing. They don't really know Michael Jordan. They know about Michael Jordan, and they may have seen him from afar. There are many benefits in growing up in a Christian context, growing up in the Christian church, growing up in a Christian home. But there's also a danger, because it can all become so familiar. You can learn to talk a good game. You can learn to talk about Christianity, talk about God, talk about Jesus Christ. But the question is there a relationship behind those words? Psalm 23, verse 4 pushes us to get beyond talking about the shepherd to having a relationship with the shepherd. So how do you know that you have a relationship with this shepherd described for us in Psalm 23? Several things we can see in this verse, verse 4, that will confirm whether you have a relationship with this shepherd. The first thing to highlight is, if you know the shepherd, you will talk to the shepherd. There's an interesting transition that takes place in Psalm 23. I mentioned it before I read Psalm 23. Maybe you noticed this change as I read through this psalm. The change has to do with the way David addresses the shepherd. In verse 2 and 3, David talks about the shepherd. He uses the third person pronoun he. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David here is talking about the shepherd and things that the shepherd does. But with verse 4, David begins to talk to the shepherd. He uses the second person pronoun, you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even verse 5, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. This is direct address because here in verse 4, David is now talking to the shepherd. So why does David go about or from talking about the shepherd in verses 2 and 3? Why now is he talking to the shepherd? Why this shift from he to you? Why this more intimate form of address? Well, it's been suggested by several authors that during the fall and winter months, the sheep stay in the lowlands. They're at home on their own grazing pastures. They're close to the home of the shepherd. They're near the center of activity, the home base, if you will. But when summer comes, the shepherd takes the sheep up to the hill country, and they go there during the summer to find better grazing pasture lands, and they stay there most of the summer. And during this time, the sheep and the shepherd are all by themselves, away from the hustle and bustle of the home base. They are alone together. It would be like taking a group of young people camping. You know them because maybe you have regular contact with them. Maybe you see them from week to week at church. But you get away for a few days alone camping together, and you really get to know them, and they really get to know you. The idea is that the change in verse 4 from talking about the shepherd and now talking to the shepherd during those summer months is because the sheep and the shepherd are all alone together. The closeness of that relationship is expressed by you, a more personal form of address. The point of all this is that David not only talks about the shepherd, but he talks to the shepherd. He can have a conversation with the shepherd because he has a relationship with his shepherd. You cannot know someone if you've not really talked to them. And talking to the shepherd is more than just a casual conversation. A relationship should develop where you talk about the significant things of your life. You talk about the things mentioned in this psalm, like hardship, difficulty, death, conflict in verse 5. So one question this morning is, do you talk with your shepherd? Last week we saw that this shepherd is Jesus Christ. That's made abundantly clear by Christ himself. And so the question is, do you talk with Jesus? Is he your shepherd? Last week in verse 1, we saw that it emphasizes a personal relationship. My shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. And if it's a personal relationship, you should be talking regularly to your shepherd. In the wonderful world of technology in which we live, we can talk to anyone almost anytime at any place in the world. And there are some people we long to talk to because we miss them so dearly. And when we talk to them, we don't worry about how we say what we say. We're just glad to be able to talk to them. And so it should be with our shepherd. You don't have to use formal language, sophisticated language, churchy language. Just express to him what is on your heart. He desires to hear from you. He wants to have this relationship with you. He wants you to unburden your trials and troubles and difficulties to him. Develop this relationship. If you know the shepherd, you'll be talking to the shepherd regularly. But also it's important that you know the shepherd, because if you know the shepherd, you will not fear the difficult circumstances of life. When the shepherd takes the sheep to the hills for the summer, they must pass through valleys. You don't drive sheep straight up a mountainside. It's like when we build a highway. You don't build a highway straight up the mountainside. The highway sort of follows the valleys around until you finally reach the top. And so sheep must pass through valleys to reach the higher grazing pasture lands. And what kind of valleys are these? Well, the valley of the shadow of death is what's mentioned here. The word means darkness. It has that nuance. I like the translation, the valley of the shadow of death, but the word also can have the nuance of darkness, and I think the New American Standard in one of its renditions translates this, the valley of deep darkness. The valley is a place of darkness. As the sheep move from the lowlands up to the highlands and up to the hills, they pass through dark valleys. Valleys which may not have very much sun in them, except for just a few moments or hours during the day. Because the valleys are dark, very dark, they're not pleasant places for sheep. The dark is the unknown. And sheep are animals that scare easily. They are very vulnerable animals. They have no means of protection. The only means of protection a sheep has is to run from danger. But you can't run when you're in the valley, because you're in this confined space. And in those crevices of darkness, there may be danger lurking, a snake, a predator. And so literally, the valley of deep darkness can become the valley of the shadow of death. And so as sheep move through the valleys, they know that in those shadows, those dark shadows, that there is danger that may be lurking, even death itself. And so they move through the valleys in constant fear. Fear of the darkness, fear of the unknown danger, fear of death itself. The valley is not a very pleasant place for sheep. What a masterful picture this is of our lives as God's people. In the valleys of life, we face difficult circumstances. And yes, we're afraid. We face dark and bitter experiences. We're fearful. We even face the darkness of death itself. And like sheep, we balk and we hesitate because we don't want to go through these valleys of life. They're hard. They're painful. They're difficult. We feel so vulnerable and defenseless. And sometimes the great dangers in the valleys overwhelm us. We plead with the shepherd, there's got to be another way. Do we have to go through these difficult valleys of life? But notice the response of David in verse 4 here. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, David says, no matter what he faces in the valley, whether danger from evil, danger from the calamities of life, even death itself, David affirms that he will not fear. He goes through the valley unafraid. Isn't that the kind of assurance you would like to have as you live your life? It's natural for us to fear the difficult things in life, natural for us to fear death itself. But there's something about the shepherd that helps to calm the fears of the sheep. There's something about the shepherd that allows us as the sheep to face these dark valleys without fear. It's one thing. It's the presence of the shepherd. You are with me. You're with me. If you know the shepherd of Psalm 23, if you know Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd, talking about the shepherd who will come, you do not go through the valleys alone. You're not alone. Your shepherd walks right beside you. He doesn't stay on the cliffs above, sort of looking down at you in the valley and saying, okay, you'll make it, don't worry about it, I'll meet you on the other side. No, that's not the picture. He's in the valley with the sheep. It's like the parent who tells the young child, go ahead, don't be afraid, you can ride that ride, you are big enough to ride that ride, and I'll be sitting on this bench watching you the whole time. No, Mom, no, Dad, I want you on the ride. We have three daughters close together, so when they were small, they were close together, and so we would go to a Chuck E. Cheese near our house. And in this particular Chuck E. Cheese, there was a train for small kids, a train that would go in a circle. And they wanted to ride that train. So we put them on that train. They were probably, the oldest was 5 or 6, maybe not quite that old. And they were laughing and giggling and having the time of their life. Well, halfway around the circle, the train goes behind a partition. And all of a sudden, we hear screams. All of a sudden, they were no longer assured of the presence of their parents. And they became afraid. You can be assured of the presence of your shepherd. He goes through the valley right beside you. You are with me. That's why we don't have to be afraid. The presence of your shepherd will make all the difference in the world. So if you know this shepherd, you will talk to this shepherd. If you know this shepherd, you will have the comfort of his presence with you. And then we also see in this verse that if you know the shepherd, you will experience the benefits that come from the presence of your shepherd. What is it about the presence of the shepherd that helps calm the sheep? Well, here we come to the last clause of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what is it about the rod and the staff that brings comfort to the sheep? It's not just the presence of the shepherd. I mean, the presence of the shepherd is the main thing, but he's got this staff and he's got this rod. They bring comfort to the sheep. Well, the staff is that wooden stick. You see a lot in Christmas plays, pictures, wooden stick with a curved end on it. It was a symbol of the patience and kindness of the shepherd. It had several purposes. It could be used to sort of draw the sheep together if a shepherd needed to draw the sheep together, to grab a particular sheep and bring it closer to the shepherd. It could be used to guide the sheep, to go in the direction that the shepherd wanted the sheep to go. The presence of the shepherd is a guiding presence. Whatever valley you may be facing, the shepherd knows the way through that valley. In fact, we as sheep wouldn't make it through the valleys of life if it was not for the shepherd. Reminds me of a chorus I used to sing as a kid. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Shepherd also carried a rod. The rod was that short club worn at the belt, and it had a couple of purposes. The rod was used for discipline, to keep the sheep in line. I mentioned Philip Keller last week. He was a missionary to Africa. He actually was a shepherd, and he hung around a lot with African shepherds. And he writes this in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I could never get over how often and with what accuracy the African shepherds would hurl their rods at a recalcitrant sheep that misbehaved. If a shepherd saw a sheep wandering away on its own or approaching poisonous weeds or getting too close to danger of one sort or another, the club would go whistling through the air to send the wayward animal scurrying back to the bunch. The rod means the presence of the shepherd is a disciplining presence. But we have to be very careful with this idea. Because when we say this, we are not saying that every time you experience difficult things in life, it's because you have sinned. We are not saying that. Why something difficult comes into our lives? The question why is a normal, natural question for us to ask. But it's not the question that the Bible is particularly interested in. You remember Job. Job suffered greatly. And when God finally confronted Job, God never told Job why he was suffering. We as readers know why Job was suffering because we can read chapters 1 and 2. Job did not have that information in chapters 1 and 2. God never told Job why he was suffering. What God was interested in was Job's response to his suffering. Not the why, but the response. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed belong to us." What we do know is that we have a gracious Father in heaven who uses all of the experiences of life that we have to shape us and to mold us, using these things for His glory and our good in ways that we don't really comprehend. But He is at work, sanctifying us through the difficult experiences of life. It's a reminder of the shepherd's continuing care. I'm part of his flock. I belong to him. and you will find that he demonstrates his wonderful presence in ways that we would never experience if it wasn't for some of the valleys of life that we go through. But the rod was also used to protect the flock, to drive off predators, to beat the bush to scare off snakes, in extreme cases, to kill a lion or a bear. Philip Keller again tells of a time when he was in Kenya photographing elephants, and he came to the top of a hill, and the elephants were at the base of the hill, so he couldn't see them well enough to take pictures because they were at the base of the hill. So he and this African shepherd that he was with got this idea. There was this boulder sitting there at the top of this hill. They got this idea that they would sort of try to get that boulder moving. The boulder would move down the hill, and then that then would sort of push the elephants, cause the elephants to go out into the open, and then he could take some pictures. Put their shoulders up to that boulder, and they started moving that boulder back and forth, trying to get it to go down the hill. And all of a sudden, under that rock was a cobra, coiled, ready to strike. And in a split second, the rod of the shepherd came out and just took care of that cobra, just like that. In that instant, Philip Keller said that he knew the comfort of the rod probably saved their life. If you know the shepherd that Psalm 23 talks about, you can have his guiding presence, his disciplining, sanctifying presence, and his protecting presence. And you can face the valleys of life unafraid. You are with me. Jesus in John 10 identifies himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And so if you know Jesus as your shepherd, if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you have the assurance of his presence with you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Even in the hard times of life, even in the valleys of life, sometimes we have the mistaken notion that as Christians, we shouldn't face hard, difficult times in this life, but we live in a fallen world. This is not our home. Valleys are a normal part of the life of a sheep. Valleys are a normal part of our lives as Christians. For us to reach higher ground, sometimes we have to go through the valleys. There's no other way to get there. Valleys are not a sign of spiritual deficiency. Don't ever think that. They are an opportunity to move to higher ground. If nothing else, the valleys should drive us into the arms of our shepherd. Where else do we want to be as we go through the valleys of life than in the arms of our shepherd, in the very presence of our shepherd, Jesus Christ? We can follow him through any valley, even the valley of the shadow of death. We can have complete confidence that our shepherd will get us through the valley of the shadow of death. All of us here this morning will, at one time, unless Jesus Christ comes back, we will face the valley of the shadow of death. We never know when that time will be. We'll all have to face it. But you can approach that valley with confidence. And the reason you can approach the valley of the shadow of death with confidence is because your shepherd has already gone through that valley. He knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. He's already gone through that valley, crucified, dead, buried. And the third day, rose from the dead because death could not hold him. He conquered death for us. He knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. We can be assured that our brother who died this week was not alone in his death. That as he entered that valley of the shadow of death, there was his shepherd, the presence of his shepherd, through the power of the Spirit with him through the valley of the shadow of death, bringing him into the presence of his glorious Father in heaven. You can have the assurance that whatever valley in this life you face, his presence will be with you. And as you come to face that dark valley, you can have confidence in your shepherd because he's conquered death. Death could not hold him down. And as one of those resurrection hymns reminds us, death is but our entrance into glory. Because this is not our final home. Our shepherd has something marvelous waiting for us. We'll experience it fully when he comes again. Brothers and sisters, trust in your shepherd, Jesus Christ. He's conquered death. He will not fail you. His presence will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we pray. We thank you, first of all, for this assurance that you have given to your people that you will be with us. So, Lord, may we experience even that presence this morning as we've come in to the throne room of our Father in heaven to worship. Lord, comfort those who need comforting. Strengthen the weak. Heal those who are brokenhearted. May you use this time to show your love and your grace and your victory in Christ Jesus. We mourn, yes, we mourn, but not as those who have no hope. For we know our shepherd, we know what he has accomplished, and our faith is in him. Thank you for Christ and what he has accomplished for us. We give him all the glory in the strong name of Christ our Savior.